All right, gentlemen, let's do this. To maintain my contrarian reputation, let's start on time. It's called to order the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for September 13th, 2017. Set your phones on stun, please, and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, will you call roll, please?
Tom Stolte.
Here.
Tom Gosnecki.
Here.
Anthony Brodnick.
Here.
Dave Castellanos, absent. LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
Derek Nimitz.
Here.
William Whitaker.
Here. All right, we have quorum. I'd like to introduce the Indiana Department of Natural Resources new appointee to the Little Calumet River Basin Commission. His name is Derek Nimitz. Derek, why don't you say a few words, let everybody know a little bit about yourself, and welcome.
Thank you very much. So I am Derek Nimitz. I work for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, Division of Nature Reserves. I've been with the Department of Natural Resources since 2004, full-time. I'm an ecologist, so I manage nature reserves and high-quality natural areas in portions of Lake, Porter, and LaPorte County. I grew up in the town of Highland. I currently reside on a nature reserve in Porter County. For the Hobart Marsh restoration that's going on, I am the property manager and will be taking over management responsibilities after it has been restored and mitigated for. Thank you.
Great, welcome. Now, for some of you folks that have been with us for a while, that is a replacement for Mr. McCarron, who, with myself, were the two of the three appointees right after the event of September 2008. I'll get into that a little bit later as far as the fact that that's exactly 9 years ago. Hard to believe, but keep in mind all the work that Mr. McCarron did and how helpful he was to get us to where we are today, and we look forward to that same type of assistance from Mr. Nimitz. All right, next one up is the approval of the minutes from August 9th. Any changes, modifications, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? They go in forever. All right. Chairman's report, moving right along. As I mentioned, this is the 9th anniversary of that particular event right there. As you can see, we're starting to get a little greener pictures. It's a important situation, especially some of the things that we've been seeing here lately happening around the country. This happened in our community. And again, if you have a man-made structure that doesn't have ongoing maintenance, things like this have a tendency to happen more frequently. But as an engineering project, excuse me, this is a situation that you're trying to control Mother Nature. 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket is always going to be a bad thing. But we're far better prepared than we are today than we were in September of 2008. Hopefully we don't have that type of a situation, but this is a situation here where you have a man-made structure and we're still catching up from things that were deferred maintenance-wise back then. But Dan will go through some of the things that we've got going, which we should all be proud of. That's why we have a room that has this many people and we're not in an auditorium like we used to right after the event of September 2008. It's a tough one. Next is finance report, approval of the claims from September 2017. We need a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the claims in the amount of $579,217.27.
There's a motion, a second?
I'll second.
We got a second, some discussion. Anybody have any questions with regards to these invoices? Paying the bills, it's a big thing these days. Mr. Reap, anything you want to point out on this one?
I'll just go through some of the higher ticketed items and any other items of interest. We'll start with the $62,700 for Patrick Engineering. That is for services for the railroad bridge that is being designed in Hobart to deal with Deep River. that was identified in the Deep River study that we authorized for SEH back in 2015. So we did a report, we followed some logical conclusions, and now we are trying to fix some of the problems that have been identified, and that was one of them.
Golf clap.
Imagine that. Let's see. Reith Riley for the Gary South levee paving, that is the final payment that is under budget, and that does complete Gary South levee. We are also starting, or we actually just completed Hammond's paving of the trail from Columbia Avenue all the way to Northcott. Actually, Kevin Avenue to Northcott. And that was just completed, I believe, yesterday or the day before. Today, not sure if weather permitting, I know Jeff's in the back of the room, they are going to start gearing north, which would then have all of the levees, both north and south, paved throughout the project, but for some parts in Highland and some parts in Munster. So that's the final payment for that contract. We have orals for 28,000 cleared blockages for Sherrville Ditch. That was what we talked about previous meetings ago. That's all the areas be south of 213th Street, where Sherrville and Dyer Ditch basically create a V. And we cleared out some of this in cooperation with the Lake County Surveyor's Office. So a lot of the dead and dying trees that we talked about a little bit in the previous work study session were cut out so that they can deal with some bank erosion issues, they meaning Lake County Surveyor's Office. I have pictures of this one. The $15,000 for 35th and Chase fire cleanup. Unfortunately, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Got a phone call on a Sunday morning about 7 o'clock. Those are generally not good phone calls to get. And they notified me that 35th and Chase, the old fruit market, was on fire. There was an arson and some theft. Thankfully, most of our stuff was taken out of there. We lost, I believe, one of the gate closures for the Burr Street, but we have an extra, so we're in good shape. Unfortunately, for Lake County Solid Waste, they lost a little bit more material, and that is under investigation, but in order for us to provide a safe area, we needed to clean that up. We recycled it. I think we got $1,700 back for scrap, and so that will offset that cost. But that's an unfortunate incident, and we're working with Solid Waste to see what they would like to do in the future because they still have operations there with their recycling plant. The reimbursements, both for Town of Highland and Hammond Sanitary District, based on our agreement with them through a resolution, so long as they pass their inspection from the Army Corps of Engineers, they receive reimbursement to the tune of $13,000 a pump station to put back into those pump stations to make sure that the grass is cut and things are properly oiled and greased the way it should be.
Primed, if you will.
Sure. $83,000 for our general liability insurance. That is the premium that we have to pay. We'll be getting a reimbursement from the cancellation of our previous policy. That number is yet to be determined, but that is for anyone that slips and falls and don't get any ideas on the levy, we are insured. Trying to think of anything or look really quickly through that would jump out at a bigger number.
Commissioners, any question for Mr. Repay on some of these?
Mr. Repay, the
yes.
Last time you just mentioned a refund of the insurance policy, you have a order of magnitude? Are we talking? We know what we paid. We're going to get 10% of it back, more like half, 70%.
Well, the $35,000, I believe the number was, we're not going to get back. That was the upfront number.
Right.
And then I believe there were $15,000 payments from there on. We'll get probably more than half of that because it was monthly, but it was front loaded. So we're going to get all the dollars that we didn't spend since we canceled. So it's being prorated from the day of cancellation. When that day of cancellation, I believe, was August something. I have 15th or 16th of our. Oh no, it was September 1st was our cancellation date because that's when everything all
paperwork
works
were required. Yeah.
Came through. So I would guess $20,000 back to us, and that's just a pure guess.
Sure. Timing? How long is it going to take for us?
We filled out the paperwork. They gave us a notification that, in fact, we were canceled. So we know that, and so now the check has to be processed. I'd imagine being net 30 days. Yeah, I guess it's, nice. I know. 90?
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay on this? Be there none, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Wilkie.
Yes.
Tom Bosetti.
Yes.
Anthony Bartlett.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. Next item. Hey, it's the project tracker and the executive director's report.
So what's the over-under on if I can get this video to work?
I would say...
All of you that were here last month, I know, are dying to see this presentation. All right. So what I'm going to do is do it this way. I just have a little bit first, just to let everyone know we are going forward with the USGS rain gauges. We're working with the National Weather Service out of Minnesota and Kansas City so that one of the deep river gauges, which will be absolutely brand new to the system, will be of predictive order, similar to the one that's off of Holman Avenue, where they can determine based on rainfall, saturation, as to what the elevation of the river, of deep river, will be downstream, which will greatly help the folks in Hobart, Lake Station, New Chicago, Gary, and also help us because, as you know, it doesn't rain uniformly throughout the entire watershed. So they're working on doing some of those measurements, and I would expect an agreement to be signed before October 1st because that is the beginning of their fiscal year, and so they want to get that resolved then. Kennedy Avenue, Harrison Avenue Bridge are still being designed. Harrison will probably be first to be going off to be bid out probably in the winter of this year. Kennedy will probably be the summer of next year. As I said before, Gary North paving should have started today. It could start tomorrow, depending on if they got scared away by the small rain that we got.
And Gary North is from where to where again?
Gary North is from...
You're welcome, Luann.
Georgia. Are you an assistant? Are you going to...
Hey, just answer, please.
Yeah. Make sure he gets on the byline, would you? From Martin Luther King all the way to Colfax.
Martin Luther King, Colfax, thank you.
Hammond was completed.
Wait, we did finish Gary South, right?
Gary South is already completed.
So that's been done, and that was from where to where as the quiz?
It is from Chase Street to Martin Luther King.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Hammond's complete from Calumet to Northcott, actually just a little bit past Northcott, because we put a new, safer crossing at the Northcott Bridge because people couldn't see bikers and walkers as they were traveling through that area.
Or the Siphon Bridge.
Whatever you want to call that.
Isn't that what that is?
It's whatever they wanted to build at that time. We still have to do a closure at that point, so... Yeah.
All right, well, the generator at Burr North is completed, too. I think that's important. So it's another project in Gary, and that's basically providing, obviously, backup generation for that. So, again,
there's a picture in my presentation of that.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. How many of the major pump stations do we have backup generation on now? Just this one?
Just this one that we control.
Right.
Hammond and Munster has them on all of their stations. Hammond Sanitary is sort of both. Hammond doesn't have any on their side of the river. And Highland has backup generators on their stations.
Right.
The issue in dealing with ours is Ironwood doesn't move any water, hasn't moved any water in 20-some years. Broadway is the same way, so it would be fruitless to do it on those. Those are the major ones. Marshalltown is small. 32nd and Grant is a small one that just basically takes surface. So the only other capable or possible one that you would think of would be Burr South. And I'm just not sure we have enough land to necessarily put a backup generator at that location.
Okay.
Without purchasing land from the auto recycler next door. Just the way it's figured. I mean, I'm sure there's smart people out there that can figure out how to do it. It would be extremely cramped.
Because when it rains here, the power never goes out.
That's what they said in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
5 million people.
Wisconsin Bridge?
That's just, Wisconsin Bridge is a reimbursement. They're designing it. Hobart is submitting for reimbursement.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Reapy on that before he goes into his presentation?
We're having, just so you know, we're having an advisory board meeting for two new applications coming through September, help me. 26th is an advisory board. So there's two applications. And we've offered that to all the communities and said, if you have an application, you have this last shot here to do it before we set this meeting agenda. So, and the advisory board is basically, it consists of all communities. They review it so that we make sure that no community is negatively impacted by a project that someone may or may not do upstream from them. So they have some say. And they give a recommendation to us. And then with that, I'm hoping that my presentation works. If not, I'm going to do hand puppets, and we're going to talk about fun things.
Yeah.
Since it's the anniversary of the flood, what I figured I'd do is go over some of these great pictures that show what happened and some things that we shouldn't forget, as the chairman often mentions. So this was the first flood in 2007 that many people don't remember, and that was the first time that the Borman was shut down. For some of you veterans here that come to these events, you'll notice some of these familiar pictures. The next one here, and I have that pointer here someplace, right? Anyways, we'll start from the right about how we've addressed issues. This was brought up from 2008. Starting on the right, I-65, I-80, NDOT built flood walls there in 2012 that now protects that area, along with the area that is highlighted under Borman Expressway. The Indiana University problem was a result of the culverts that were inside, or the manholes that were inside the river, that this commission addressed by building out those containers with the vents that will now hopefully prevent that from tipping and causing it to flow underneath the levee. Harrison Street is being designed right now, so we will raise that up next year, so that will no longer be an issue. Grant Street is the only issue currently that we haven't corrected on this sheet, because of the fact that Grant Street we need to raise, and that's an expensive proposition. But by correcting all these others, if we have just one to deal with, it's a lot more manageable. The bottom left is 35th and Chase, which by next year we will have built an overpass, so there will no longer be the need for human intervention there with those posted panels and people losing parts. And then the Chase Street up on the top left is the area that NDOT built the permanent, semi-permanent wall to prevent flooding from occurring over there. So we do address the problems as we see them and as they were outlined in this report from the 2008 flood, which is now the other second part of Kennedy Avenue closing. And if you remember, that was closed for 5+ days. And Columbia Avenue Bridge, which in 2012, we cooperated in partnership with the city of Hammond, Munster, and the county to raise. So that will no longer need to be a closure, but we will have to monitor the outfalls as it goes down into the river. Just some historical perspective on how much it truly cost as far as damage, and not to even mention some of the personal expenses and trauma that it occurred. And some of the items that we've accomplished since then, including monthly O&M meetings, gone through deferred maintenance. We now have a website that you should all register for us to communicate with you in case we have cancellations of meetings or if we really have to get a hold of you.
Dan, can you go back? Mm-hmm. Sorry, 2 slides.
Oh, boy.
Numbers.
Yep.
Just, you kind of went through just fast. I just want to put the kind of...
Sure, these are all the floods of record.
Right. Just wanted to let it soak in.
So 2008, $881 million.
Right, in this small area. What are you talking about, Houston? 11 billion or something? It's only 10 times this.
They're saying to replace Houston slash Florida, it was $271 billion.
Okay,
not lost. I mean, this is damages. So this is to build it up. I mean, much bigger area that was affected, an entire state, as opposed to, you know, one, two counties. I'm just realizing that Cabela's was spelled wrong, but that's just my issue now that I brought it up to my own attention.
It's a lot of money.
$881 million, and that's the issue that we went down to the state with in 2012 and explained to them the ramifications of what this small little river can do. This picture will never leave me and never leave any presentation that I do, because this was a picture taken during the annual inspections in August of 2008. And for someone not to do something about this is painful.
So talk about how many of those culverts they are and how large they are.
Well, I will go, because I like to do before and after like you like to see. So this is what it looked like then. And this comes straight from the 2008 inspection report, just so you know if you want to go back and look at it yourself. This is the railroad tracks between Martin Luther King and Georgia, or Virginia. It's near Ironwood. So this is what it's supposed to look like. And that's what it pretty much looks like today. You can see the stain on the wall of how long those logs were staying there, still sitting there against the culverts. So that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what it looked like. So you can figure that one out. You know, when we first started, and this is going back to really when I started in 2010, these were the culverts that were at Chase Street, and they were constantly clogged, and I was told that, don't worry, the water will just go over Chase Street and it will keep flowing. So we began in May, I think it was May 3rd, to start unclogging it. That's actually a Gary truck that cleaned them out for us. In partnership, and then we ultimately set up a contract, I believe in 11 or 12, to actually remove those culverts completely because of the habitual blocking. Just so that you can see this graph, and I've posted this graph before, you see the big dip there on May 5th. The lowest that the river would ever get at that point, or at the Burr Street station, was 7.5, because of the way that those were constantly blocked. I will tell you that today, if you went to the Burr Street station, the graph should read 4.8, which is even lower than what you can even see on this screen. This was brought on May 5th of 2010. And we've probably only gone over the 7.5, which was the minimum at that time, probably maybe a half a dozen times since I've been here. So you've created, in essence, you know, today is 4.5, so you've created, in essence, 3 feet of storage from Chase going back to Burr and probably further back throughout the entire system. There's another before and after for a good friend who has a bet against me.
It's supposed to be dry, by the way.
And if you haven't seen that, on the left picture, is that's meant for storage. So in the event that it rains and it can't make it through the system, it's supposed to be stored in the picture where it is. If it doesn't drain, you lose your storage. The right is what it looked like back then. It's greener even now, so it's still dry. That's just off of Clark Road between Clark and Burr. It's our favorite friend here. This is the beaver dam that he built. Or in Anthony's case, the Badger. I'm sorry. You guys bet against me. I got to take a shot at you. Chase Street closure, which is, as you see, all these different components here. Garcia Engineering is going to, or already has completed, the up and over. So where those panels are will now be solid, and it will be a road crossing over the top. So we don't need, what is that, a dozen people to construct something in the middle of a rainstorm, during an emergency, and during all the other things that have to go on in the course of flooding. This was a fishing pier, or is a fishing pier still, off of Lake Etta, just off of Clark Road. And this is what it looks like today, now usable. Debris, we've partnered not only with Conservation Mike in the past, and Fred and his group, but now Isaac Walton, as you know, has participated in cleanup. And there's that shot, Jeff, for you. Even Jeff's dad got involved in this cleanup, rolling tires. This is a, as I mentioned before, the manholes. This was a manhole off of Chase Street. Oh, if I could get this to work, I'll be a great guy. Oh, and I do get it to work.
Nice.
I'm bonus coverage. So these are the manholes, and this is what happens when a manhole tips over inside the river.
There's manholes inside of the levees, people.
So the river then finds its way into the manholes and then ultimately into the Gary Sanitary District pump stations, which cause strain on them, and if they happen to go out, guess what happens? People flood. So this one happened just off of Chase Street. This will be fixed here hopefully within the month. And for some reason that picture isn't showing. Oh, there it is. I didn't know I had the little added feature into it. So these are what it, this is what it looks like after they've been installed, with the little vent there above the 200-year flood elevation. And we're doing bike trails. I'm sorry, Tom, I had to put you in this one. Nice scissors. You'll have plenty of ribbon cuttings in the future, so hopefully you guys can join each other again. The before and after, this is Marshalltown, the pump station, and what we've fixed it to look like so that it actually works and the erosion doesn't take out the side of the bank. And these are the pump stations that we've done entire rehabilitation on over the course of the last 2 years, spending nearly $1 million fixing the pumps, adding the rock system, which had stabilization, and adding, there you go, Bill, for your backup generator at the North Burr Station. We've now put together an emergency operations center, which is the Highland Fire Station, where we have central communication, which what you'll know, or what you've learned, hopefully, in the last 3 weeks from watching some of these disasters occur in both Texas and Florida. And what we lacked in 2008 was communication to not only the residents, but to each other. And now we've centralized those to allow everyone knows what each community is doing at what time and what to expect. And so this is one of those pictures that we took inside. I know it's really boring of two large screen TVs, but there's more to it. Just couldn't catch it all in one picture. So in 2010, when I started this job, and when I think most of the board members started, this is what we had as our report card for the levee system. And I can tell you that it is now that. So for the first time since I've started, and probably since this board, that every segment is at least acceptable and considered active. Just so that everyone understands, and I've said it before, there's three phases to acceptability. There's completely acceptable, which means you're an A, minimally acceptable, which is like a C, and then not acceptable, which is going back to the red. So you don't get B's or B minuses. It's either fully acceptable or minimally acceptable or unacceptable. So we are, as of, I think it was a week ago, got a letter, thank you, Natalie, from the Army Corps of Engineers stating that all of our levees meet the minimal acceptable rating system, and all of our system is active, and active allows us to, in the event that 10 gallons of water goes into a 5-gallon bucket and something happens to the levee, that we are reimbursable, or it's reimbursable to us, where we're only paying, I believe, 20% of the cost to fix it, and 80% goes to the federal government.
That's a big deal.
Oh, all right.
So that means that by having that certified, that if there is an event, which we hope in our lifetime never happens again, there's federal funds that are available.
That's correct.
So, whereas under this situation, there was not.
That was not a good situation. So there's the end, and then here are my last two pictures of the fire at 35th and Chase, what it looked like. And that's looking to the east, and that is looking to the sort of northeast. So it was a complete loss. And so right now that site is completely clear. That's the 911 tower in the back, and that's it. And I got it to work.
Way to go.
And I'm really happy for myself.
All right, man.
Thank you. Thank you. That was great. I really worked hard on that. And I may not be able to get up. I'm just going to say that.
So we're getting resettled. One of the things that we always try to do is take those pictures, because we could sit through and you could talk and listen to all these things and it kind of, yeah, okay, great. Well, now you see what a pump actually looks like. It's not a pump like you see in your basement. That thing is a huge piece of equipment. You get an idea from the before and after, some of the deferred maintenance issues that we had to deal with and what it takes to make sure that that keeps moving in a positive direction, to the point where that culvert thing that we saw. And that's true. I mean, Dan and I have had that conversation more than once. You cannot get past the fact that that was that clogged, where trees were actually growing from the middle of the dang river. So, again, this is one of the premises and why we're able to have a true regional project that's been very beneficial, I think, to the community as a whole. And, you know, everybody that's been involved in this has been very helpful, and it's been a community effort. It's a good thing in the region. All right, so Dan, what else have you got with regards to your presentation?
I screwed up.
You turned everything off without your aerial?
That's okay. I'll show it after the meeting.
Okay.
It's going to be too difficult to fire up right now.
Your ThinkPad? Okay. All right, so we'll move into some other issues, new business.
I'm reading.
Okay.
I got it. Mr. Chairman, make a motion to open proposals for the demolition of Lake Station properties and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by attorney and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And there's a second. Mr. Ripe, what's the discussion? You're opening up stuff which is part of our responsibility as a public sector group.
Right. So, if you guys missed that, I forgot to play the aerial. I was so happy that my PowerPoint worked that I forgot to play the aerial.
Ah, the back pad.
I mean, I was really, I broke my shoulder.
Tennis elbow.
Won't be able to golf. So I forgot to play the aerial thing. So after we dismiss or you adjourn the meeting, I'm gonna play it for everyone. It's 2 minutes. It's really worth it. It's pretty cool. So this item is meant for the demolition of properties that we acquired along Lake Station. As I mentioned before, what we're doing in Hobart for the railroad bridge, this is very similar. They identified during that study that this area in Lake Station was subject to flooding. And so with that, without any protection, they offered some recommendations, either dig, build some detention. What ultimately came to the reality was we'd have to build a levee along this section of Deep River, which is from Liverpool to the expressway on the east side of Deep River. And so we've been acquiring these properties, and we've been talking to these 20-some parcels. Not all of them are houses. Some of them are vacant, and we've come to the point where we've come to an agreement with five landowners that we have signed the paperwork, and they've agreed to sell to us. And now with that, we need to take down these properties because they pose a safety hazard. So we worked through the City of Lake Station and a lot, and asked them who some qualified or who they're qualified licensed contractors were to do the work, and we sought proposals for them so they could demolish these houses. And so that is what this is. We still have some more parcels to acquire that we're in different processes of doing so. And like I said, this proposal is for them to knock down the houses that we have acquired, that we have signed paperwork for, and these folks have moved out or will be moving out here very shortly.
So let me just interrupt real quick, Dan, to let everybody know. I mean, this is the part of Lake Station where all of Deep River, which is one of the two primary tributaries into the Little Cal with Hart Ditch, so this is bringing water all the way from Crown Point and Winfield all the way through Sherrillville into Lake George and Hobart and comes into the Little Cal by the expressway. So this is in Lake Station. We've got a lot of attention focused on this area because of the volumes of water that come into that location while all the water is coming from the west, from where all the things that have been done from the federal flood control project. So it's a very important area. Is this close to where the place called that had all of the houses? No, the houses.
The trailer park?
Trailer park.
This is a part of the trailer park, which is one of the acquisitions that we do need to make.
All right, so that was a real tough area during the event of 2008. So there was another name. What is it besides trailer park? You're not supposed to call it. Can't say that.
Why can't I say trailer?
It's a mobile home.
So anyway, with that said, we have to knock some of these houses down from a safety perspective and try to get this thing ready to go as it pertains to getting this area cleaned up. What do you got, Dan?
So we submitted to three different contractors, Goldschmidt Construction Services, C, which is out of Hobart, C.E. Lee, which was out of Gary, and J.M. Industry Services, which is out of Hammond. Those were the contractors that Lake Station had said that they were qualified, licensed, and so we asked for them to submit proposals. We've had different forms of communications with all three of those companies. However, only one company submitted a proposal for the demolition, and that was J.M. Industrial Services. And the total amount...
Before you do that, did we do this right? There's a motion. Was there a second? And did we vote?
Did not vote.
All right, we need to vote. All those in favor of Dan opening up the letter, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It's all done.
Okay. It's now opened, and the total for the five subject properties is $54,000.
That's from JM?
Correct.
Okay, so that gets reviewed by the attorney and staff as it relates to demolition of those Lake Station properties. Anybody have any questions on that before we move on? Anything else, Dan, on that?
No.
All right, next item is new business. Mr. Whitaker.
No new business for me, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Nothing here.
You know, I got to take one more swing at the fact that this is the anniversary of the floods of 2008. Maintaining the maintenance of this flood control project after we're all long and gone is continuing to be an issue. Everybody needs to pay attention to what's going on. Now that we have the watershed as a whole, it includes the recreation component, the upland water storage component. Also taking into fact how much development's happening, coordinating with all the municipalities that are in the watershed. This is a true community project that, since we've been able to do some of the things that Dad showed in your presentation, we removed over, 1,400 properties, Dan?
I know the value was $4
million. $4 million. Over 1,000 properties were taken out of the mandatory requirement to pay flood insurance under their mortgage, which is, we equated it to $4 million, and that's annually that happens because of the fact that this is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. So everybody that worked on that should do what Dan did and pat yourself on the back, because that's a good thing. But it also worries about what happens tomorrow. And never lose sight of the fact that it is Mother Nature, and she usually wins, but we better be ready. Yes, sir.
We have, or someone has neglected to talk to the Army Corps of Engineers.
And sure. All right, I'll do that.
They have a report.
They have a report?
Yes, about some very important matters.
Okay, I'm the chairman. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Natalie. Natalie Mills is with the Army Corps of Engineers. Maybe we should also put that on the agenda, Mrs. Lambert, for me, because I tend to, you know, get distracted once in a while, especially for this month.
Look at the cat.
Good evening, Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Thank you for the introduction. So I'd like to just give a brief update on some progress that we're making. The first update that I have is with respect to the Hobart Marsh Wetland Mitigation Contract. The contractor's continuing to make progress. They're doing the gully earthwork clearing. They've done the drain tile disablement work, so that is complete. Work upcoming for them include continuing to clear and herbicide, do some tree plantings, and some fencing and gate installation. With respect to the Hammond, the Tidac, recent work that they've been doing is preparing the levee. They had some topsoil. They were doing some raking to clear some deficient material that they had within the side slopes. They did submit, previously reported that they submitted the as-built drawings. We did return them with comments on the 1st of September. We anticipate a response from them, a resubmittal rather, by the end of the month. Yeah, the end of this month. And for your knowledge, we are withholding $50,000 for that activity in the event that they don't complete the as-built drawings in a timely fashion, and then we'll retain those funds and we'll complete the as-built drawings. We have scheduled in coordination with Dan and Jody, as well as the Congressman's office, a ribbon cutting for this project. It's scheduled for the 10th of October at 2 o'clock. We'll be sharing like the logistics on, I mean, obviously it'll be at the location of, on the State Line Road, likely where the levee is, but we'll work those details, work with the community and the city of Hammond and schedule this, that event. We also had a bid opening for the in-project mitigation contract on the 31st of August. The low bidder is NCAP, E-N-C-A-P, and their bid was $777,000. We're scheduled to award that contract by the 30th of September. Lastly, with respect to crediting, we're continuing to just move forward slowly but surely. So this month so far, we've got approximately 290,000 credits that we've approved and returned to Dan for review. That is all that I have at this time.
All right, thank you. As it relates to State Line with the ribbon cutting, how does that tie into the paperwork necessary for the residents of that area to no longer have to pay mandatory flood insurance as part of their mortgages?
How does it tie in?
Not tie back, tie in. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think the bigger component there was what you said about the as-builts. The as-builts dictate what FEMA, from the CLOMAR, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but FEMA looks at the as-builts to make sure that they're above the 200-year plus 2 feet elevation. So once those have been submitted and approved, they had comments to them, so I don't know what the comments were. Then
so ribbon cutting for me means it's over, everything, everybody can move in, so that doesn't, that's not applicable in this environment?
Maybe October 10th, that is applicable,
okay.
But right now they're going to have to go through. I'm assuming that the surveyor is going to get back to them the response to their questions, and once that's done and hopefully sufficient, they're going to submit that to FEMA, who's already seen this project, and maybe October 10th is that situation.
The as-builts are due back to you, you said, the resubmittal by the end of September? You expect
them
by the end?
Yeah, we expect them, yes.
Okay, so if they basically get it right this time.
Right. Then we can approve them, sign them,
Would you know something where you could actually make a statement on, during the October 10th ribbon cutting, where you can say, "Hey, this just in."
If we can.
Job isn't finished, so the paperwork is done. So why are we cutting a ribbon?
Well, the field work is complete.
Yeah.
But the most important. I don't discount that the field work is done and the protection is there.
Mm-hmm.
But these individuals come to the meeting every month, asking, "When am I going to get relief from paying thousands of dollars a year in my insurance?" And we got a piece of paper that hasn't been certified and submitted yet. And we're out there cutting ribbons and patting each other on the back. And these people are still writing a check. I'm sure they're not going to be happy to see everybody taking pictures and smiling. Because to them, it's not done.
It's not done. Okay, anything else for Mrs. Mills?
It's a month away. So last month, it was indicated that we would be able to submit to FEMA by October 1st. That's what my notes say. Mm-hmm. What was the reason for rejection of the as-builts? How extensive is the revision that they need
They're
to make?
They're not extensive revisions. Firstly, they didn't submit CAD drawings. I mean, they just gave some, they have to give it to us in CAD. So, I mean,
well, they were your contractor. That was right.
PDF markups.
PDF, right. We need to see the CAD drawings. We need to make sure all the letters are there. I mean, we checked that.
So.
But every comment, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know every comment.
I mean, if they didn't do it the first time in CAD,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to come back and give you a CAD document, hopefully with all the corrections,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be the first time you're seeing the CAD document, so what's the likelihood of it being approved by October 1st? It's not very likely, it doesn't seem like.
I can't say with certainty without seeing, you know, what they resubmit. I mean, the comments that we gave back to them, from my understanding, were pretty clear on what they need to do, what they actually do. I mean, I can't say, and that's why I brought up the point that we do have the ability to do them ourselves, if we need to. And so,
would that happen quicker if you did them yourselves?
Got the 50 grand.
And how long before you make this determination that they're not going to show up?
So at the next progress meeting, which is next Wednesday, I'm going to ensure that they understand that if the submission that they give us, this next submission, is not sufficient, then we will likely be pulling that work. Because I told you all, I mean, I've committed that a while ago, that if they did not provide the as-built drawings, that we would complete it. And that's why we wanted to have a lot of money withheld, so we could just take it over and finish it. I mean, we have their red line drawings. I mean, we have a submission. So we could do it.
So you'll make that determination as of next week?
Well, they're going to submit by the end of the month. So we'll see what we have, whether it's something that's approvable or whether it's something that requires, you know, pages and pages of comments. So I won't be able to say until we get their submission at the end of the month. And then I'll be able to let you guys know whether we're in pretty good shape or... Or we need to do it.
Would it be kosher for a couple of us, maybe, or for Dan to get a copy of the as-bills that they submitted?
The submission?
Yeah, just so we can
and
have
And the comments? Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. And also, we didn't get the monthly report that we had been getting the last couple, 3 months. The progress report that you just read off. Mm-hmm. Can we get copies of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dan, you got it kind of late. You might not have saw it.
And that progress meeting you said is next Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday.
Okay, so a week from today.
Is that 8:30 in the morning?
Yes, at
8:30. 8:30 in the morning.
Got it.
So Dan, let me know if you didn't get the
I'm trying to connect
email.
Right now.
Yeah, we've been having some problems with our email, so I'm not sure here.
Okay, any other questions for Mrs. Mills?
None for me, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Not missing a step, Mr. Gazdecki?
No, sir.
Nothing Mr. Nimitz?
Other than welcome to Derek and look forward to his participation. It's nice. He's local. He's going to be involved in some of the projects we have already in the works, and I think that's great.
Thank you. No new business.
Mr. Broadneck?
Nothing to add.
All right. Favorite part of the meeting is statements to the board from the floor. Please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and please help. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Sandy O'Brien from Hobart. I just wanted to say I enjoyed the tour that the consultants, the AES consultants gave Levon Whitaker and I in Hobart Marsh. It was very informative, and it was good to know what was going on. We kind of look around at things, but, you know, it was better to have the explainers there to give us the details. That was great. And I'm so glad that you're on the board of commissioners, Derek. That is such a good move to have somebody that actually can keep a good eye on the consultants and the projects, you know, for the mitigation in the project area and the Hobart Marsh area. I thought that was great. Very good.
Thank you, Sandy.
Welcome.
All right, going once. Twice. All right, next meeting is already October 11th. If you haven't signed up for the email list, please do that. That's the best place to see how and where we should move the show and put it on the road. If not, take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Thank you very much. Just remember what happened 9 years ago, will you please? Thanks.